You ever feel like doing that? You ever feel like just zapping somebody? Well, stand with me as the children are dismissed, or if they haven't already been, and we'll pray and praise the Lord, and then we'll get started with our new series. Father, thank you for our time together today. I ask you, Lord, that you'll bless us. Father, I pray that each person here will see today a window not only into the souls of others, but also into their own souls. Father, I ask you to help us, and I ask you to help me, that I'll bring this in a timely manner and in a powerful manner. So I ask you to help us all in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. We'll give him a shout and a hand clap, and be seated. Okay. We are beginning a new series, and the series is called Handling Difficult People. Handling. I didn't wear one of those 40% ties, silk ties today, so I just wanted to kind of look normal. But anyway, it's handling difficult people. I do what a lot of preachers do, especially nowadays. What you do is the way we're ministered to is by listening to tapes and other preachings of other pastors and teachers, and we'll go online and we'll read a lot of sermons. I don't listen to a lot or watch a lot of television preachers, but I do read a lot of sermons, and I listen to a lot of audio tapes and those kinds of things. Well, as I in all of my surfing and stuff like that I do, I began to see that there were a lot of services. A lot of people were preaching about stuff like dealing with difficult people and these kinds of things of helping or ministering with difficult people. And so I was running through the different websites, and I began to go to the church that Lance is at in Oklahoma City. In Oklahoma City, you know, he's out at Life Church, and that's one of the fastest growing churches in the nation right now. And I think they had 29,000-30,000 people for Easter, 40,000 people like that. So it's just a great thing. So anyway, I was on their website, and sure enough, Craig had one of those things, and he called it Dealing with Difficult People. And they offer so many things that churches can use, you know, just videos and those kinds of things. And I said, you know what, that'll be something good to study. So I think I'm going to just get some of those resources, and we'll have us a series on dealing with difficult people, except I'm calling it Handling Difficult People. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to start. And the reason I'm doing it is for really two purposes, two reasons. One reason is so, you know, I don't have to tell you how to recognize difficult people. We all recognize the difficult people in our lives. But what I want to do for you, first of all, is to show you, give you a window so that you can see not that they're only difficult, but why they're difficult, so that you can have some empathy for them rather than just anger toward them. That's the first thing. The second thing is so that we'll have a window into our own lives and see why sometimes we're difficult. How many are like me? Sometimes you're critical. Oh boy, have I got a lesson for you today. How many think that sometimes you're hypocritical? I got my hand up. I'm a preacher. Okay, how about then sometimes you're needy? You pull on your people because you're needy. Or how about sometimes you're manipulative? Huh? Yeah. Well, these are the things we're going to be talking about. So today, here's my first one, handling critical people. Aha, handling critical people. Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, you can please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. And they shot him. He was being criticized when he said that, and they shot him. Now, I hope that your critics don't shoot you, but hopefully we're able to see and learn from that you are going to be criticized. This is the first thing in understanding how you're going to handle critical people is, first of all, understand you are going to be criticized. I will be criticized. I want you to say that along with me and back to me. I will be criticized. Some of you aren't too sure. Okay, let me prove it to you. I'll prove it to you. You are going to be criticized. Now, that's not a negative statement. It's like you know, you see a punch coming, and if you see it coming, you're able to block it or at least deflect it. See, if you know you're going to be criticized, you're able to block the punch or at least deflect the punch. At least it's not able to knock you down or knock you out. So if I know I'm going to be criticized, I'm already kind of prepared. I'm braced for it. So first of all, if we realize that we will be criticized, you're sort of semi-braced for the criticism. You already know it's coming. And it's coming from all sorts of areas and all around you. I remember as a very young pastor, I had only been doing this a couple of years, I thought, you know, I would change everybody's life. That I would come and, boy, I had the Word of God and everybody was going to love me and it was going to be great, you know. Well, I was only into it about 2 years, and this man, it was in our church at the time, invited me out to his house. Now, I knew it was going to be one of those, we're going to talk about church times. And when you talk about church, you're talking about me, period. So I knew this was going to happen, and for some reason, I didn't take Judy with me. I don't know if she just didn't go, or I knew what was going to happen. I didn't take her or whatever. But I got there, and sure enough, this guy roasted me. I mean, he had gone around in the church and talked to all the members, or most of them at least, and he had written a list of what everybody had to say negatively about me. And for an hour and a half, he blasted me. He fried me, man. And I'm telling you, I'm sitting there, I'm taking all this in, and he's giving me all these people that have said this stuff about me, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, that so affected me at that time in my life that as I preached, I had a difficult time making eye contact with people. I would preach over, I'd look over your heads, I'd look at the wall, I'd preach to this wall or to that light, but I would not make, because I didn't want to see you frowning, making ugly faces at me, you know, it really got to me. But what I learned from that is that if I'm going to do this, in fact, if I'm going to breathe, I am going to be criticized. I will be criticized. And sometimes it is drastic criticism. Sometimes it is hurtful criticism. But I have to realize that if I'm going to live, if I'm going to do what I do, I am going to be criticized. And the more you do, the more influence that you make in lives and in your life, the more you're criticized. So I'm going to be criticized. Say it with me one more time. I will be criticized. So you're bracing yourself for that thing when it finally does come, and it will come, and most of you have already been criticized. And it's universal. It's not just happening to you. Every person is criticized. If you study it out in the Bible, you'll find that in the Bible, every single person that we're given any kind of information about has been criticized. Was Jesus criticized? Huh? The Son of God, the spotless Lamb, was criticized. And he's still being criticized 2,000 years later. They criticized the guy. They called him a wine bibber and a glutton. They said, you hang out with the wrong people. You hang out with harlots and prostitutes and sinners and tax collectors. You don't wash your hands right before you minister. You heal people on the Sabbath day. I mean, they found every little nitpicky thing to criticize him about. Did they not? They criticized him. The Apostle Paul, the same kind of a way. The Apostle Paul was criticized, and he was criticized. A world changer. All he wanted to do was build churches. They talked about how short he was. They talked about how his voice was squeaky. You know, I mean, they criticized the guy, and all he was doing was what he was called to do in life. Tremendously criticized. Every single person in the Bible, study it out, you'll find out they were always criticized. You will be criticized. That's the first thing you've got to understand when you're dealing with critical people. Now, Moses was very interesting as I began looking at this. Moses was criticized. It was so interesting. Let me show you the scripture. In Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, while they were at Hazeroth, Miriam, now this is the sister of Moses, and Aaron is the brother of Moses, Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses because he had married a Cushite woman. Now, get the picture. They're in this world-changing event. They had exited it. They brought the people of the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they were in this world-changing event, and here are the closest people in the world, the people that supposedly love Moses the most, criticizing him. They were blasting him because he married this woman. Now, when you study it out, she was from a different race. She had a different skin color than did Moses. But yet, this was the people that were supposed to love him and support him. They were blasting Moses. because of that. Maybe something like that's happened to you. You know, maybe you've married again. Maybe your family criticized you because of who you married. Maybe your family just critical. Maybe they criticize you about everything. Well, don't think that's so bad. Because what? I will be criticized. Will you say it one more time? I will be criticized. When you're handling difficult people, you gotta kind of expect that to come because you will be criticized. Another thing that Moses was criticized about, and he was just doing God's will. He was doing what the Lord had told him to do, which was go and exit, you know, bring the people of Egypt, the children of Israel out of Egypt. And they criticized him. Let me read you this scripture. It's in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 12, and it says, "Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Now, Moses was only trying to do what God called him to do, right? Only trying to help people, get them free from bondage. And that's all I want to do. That's all I want to do. I want to do what God's called me to do. That's all you want to do. But yet, he's criticized. You just want to help people, but yet you'll be criticized. Put it in the bank. You will be criticized. And if you go ahead and brace yourself for that fact and realize that you're just not out there all alone and it's just you they're picking on, all of a sudden it gives you a heads up on the criticism. People criticized Moses, they criticized Jesus, and they criticized everybody. So, with that said, let's ask you this. How do you handle criticism? How do you handle it? Probably not too well. Probably not too well at all. So what we want to talk about today is how we do handle it. You know, back when I was talking to you about that guy that fried me, back years and years ago, when I was handed that criticism, I didn't handle it well at all. It affected me tremendously. It affected me in a bad, bad way. See, I felt like the whole church felt that way about me. I thought everybody hated me. You know, what am I even doing here? And so I learned, though, from that experience, not only that I was going to be criticized, and sometimes drastically, but you know what I learned? I began to focus only on the criticism. I stopped focusing on the good things I was doing. I stopped focusing on the people that loved me, and I began to focus only on my critics. And I found out, though, everybody didn't feel that way. In fact, very few felt that way. In fact, hardly anybody really felt that way. So here's the next thing you got to learn about handling critical people is that everybody doesn't feel that way about you. Yeah, you're going to be criticized. You really are. But everybody's not going to be criticizing you. Everybody doesn't feel that way. Everybody's not critical. So when you start with those two things and you understand, first of all, that you're going to be criticized, and number two, though, that everybody is not going to criticize you, it gives you a heads up. It starts getting you onto a higher level where you can really do something. I learned that all criticism wasn't bad. Now, in some of that stuff that he blasted me with, some of that was really true, and I needed to make some adjustments someplace, but all of it wasn't. In fact, most of it wasn't. So I learned not to listen to all my criticism. Now let me show you this verse. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 5 and 6. It says this: "It is better to be criticized by a wise person than to be praised by a fool." Now the verse talks about two kinds of people. It talks about a wise person and fools. Goes on to say, "Indeed, a fool's laughter is quickly gone, like thorns crackling in a fire. This also is meaningless." You need to realize that praise, all the praise you get, and all the criticism that you get coming from fools is basically meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. And I'm going to show you, they're not really doing it to help you. They're really doing it to hurt you. And it's coming from their personal problem. So what I want you to see is it's basically meaningless. It doesn't mean that much from coming from a fool. But I have learned, and I'm cautious when I say this, but I've learned to mostly enjoy criticism. Now, I'm going to explain that statement. I don't want you lining up here in a little while and telling me all your problems you have with me. But I've learned to mostly, but the reason is because I've learned how to handle it. I've learned to enjoy criticism, especially from a wise person. When a wise person comes to me with some criticism, I don't see it really as criticism. I see it as input into my life. I want to hear what a wise person has to say about me, right? Because all they want to do is make me better. They want to help me. They want to encourage me. And we'll talk a little bit more in just a little while about how you can tell, how you can determine if a person is a wise person or if a person is just a fool. So when a wise person comes to me, it's good to hear it because I love to have that input. I love to have what that person has got to say. But what we do get from when a fool criticizes us or when a fool praises us, when we get this, what we do get, though, is an insight into that person's soul. Let me explain. When we praise something, when you praise something, I praise something, when anybody praises something, that means we consider it a value. We praise what we value. For example, if somebody were to come to me and say, I like how you're dressed. You're dressed very nicely. Well, they're telling me that they value clothes. My daughter is this way. My daughter values clothes. She likes designer clothes. I'll never forget. They had moved into a new house, not the house they live in now, but a new house at the time. And from that house, you could look down onto the street. The street was, I don't know, 40, 50 feet out there to the road. And she was telling me one day that she was standing in the window and she saw somebody walk by in a designer shirt. Now my first thing is, how can you tell? It's a designer. From this distance, how do you know? You can't see the label. But she values clothes. She always has and she always will. She knew that was a designer clothes because that's a value to Bonnie. Now, for me, everybody's got their values. Everybody's got the things they praise. To me, a boat's a value. Now, I have one of the nicest boats you can imagine. And so when I go fishing now, hardly do I ever go where I am not praised for my boat. Well, actually, it's my boat getting praised, not me. But I get praised for the boat. They tell me what a beautiful boat that is. Man, that's a nice one. I bet you really enjoy that. And what they're telling me is boats are values to them. They value a pretty nice boat. That's what they're telling me. We all do this. We praise what we value. So if we praise what we value, then what is it about criticism? What is it about us when we criticize something or someone? What does that tell us about ourselves or about another person? It does. Well, it's the same principle. You can be sure of that. It tells you your insecurities are their insecurities. What a person criticizes is what they're insecure in themselves. Now think about that just a second. That makes perfect sense. If it's not something to you, if it's not insecure to you, then why do you care how they do it, or if they do it, or why they do it? The only reason you care is because you're kind of insecure there yourself. I told you about the guy frying me years ago. And what that began to do to me was make me so self-conscious of my own ability to teach and preach. And I got where I told you I couldn't make eye contact, and I started having insecurities about my own abilities. And so what I began doing and finding that I was doing, we were talking about this and how bad I got about it, but I got to where I was the most critical person about other preachers. I'd criticize them on television. I'd criticize them on the radio. If they were a preacher, I'd criticize. I would find something to criticize. And all that was really telling me is that I was insecure in my own ability to preach. What we criticize, our inabilities and insecurities in our own lives. It's pointing out that we have problems in our own lives. What we judge and what we criticize only tells us what's going on inside of ourselves. What somebody else judges is a window to their soul that tells you what they're struggling with themselves. Let me show you in the Bible. In the book of Romans chapter 2, verses 21 through 23, the Apostle Paul says, "Thou therefore, which teacheth another, teachest thou thyself." In other words, you're teaching all these other people how to do stuff, but what you really need to do is start teaching yourself. "Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? you condemning and you're judging and you're criticizing a thief, but in your own self, you're struggling with being a thief yourself. He goes on. He says, thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, doest thou commit sacrilege? In other words, you're judging all these other people for things they do in their lives, things they spend their money on. But what about you? I bet you got some things too that are idols to you. And he goes on and he says, thou that makest thy boast of the law, though breaking the law dishonorest thou God. In other words, you're giving this aura that you got it all together. You got all the commandments in line in your life. And you're condemning and criticizing everybody else. But in reality, you're the person who's dishonoring God. See, what we criticize is something that we struggle with personally ourselves. So when somebody comes to you and they're overly critical, that tells you immediately they're most likely they're struggling with that in their own lives. Understanding that the things that people criticize you about drastically are things that are going on in their own lives gives you a window into their own soul. And it gives you a tremendous understanding about this particular person. It lets you know that this person is struggling themselves with this particular thing in their own lives, in their own souls. Many insecurities, let me say this, and then I'll give you a couple of examples. Many insecurities that people have are developed in childhood, in the child's home. The insecurities that you have, that I have, most likely began in our homes as we were children. For example, a parent that says to their child, you fat thing, you dumb, you idiot, you crazy person, you know, what they're doing is they're probably revealing their own insecurities about their own personal appearance or their own intelligence. Let me chase that just a little bit. Most men will marry a woman much like their mother. They're going to look for traits their mother has. And if their mother is a very critical person, they're going to take that into their marriage and produce that into their children. That criticism just goes on. Most women marry somebody, a man, with traits much like their dad. That's how we're wired. That's why a woman that's abused in home has a father, a parent that will you know, physically abuse her or physically abuse her mother will marry a man just like that. And it's passed on from generation to generation. And so we create these children with these critical spirits. And so it goes on down through. And a lot of criticisms that you get from people, and if you're a critical person, then you're going to find that a lot of this stuff developed in your childhood at your home. There was an individual who criticized me about everything. But he was what I termed here as a non-discrimination criticizer. He didn't just criticize me. He criticized everybody. If this guy knew you, he criticized you. I don't care what you did, how old you were, how young you were, how you looked, he criticized you. He found something to be critical about. Understand that insecurities are fears. We have these fears in our lives. They're insecurities, and they cause us to fear. And so what you find is that if you look at this particular person I began to have a relationship with, and I found out that in his life, It was really bad. I mean, his childhood was so bad. From religion to parenting. I mean, everything that this guy went through as a child was all messed up. And it created all these fears and insecurities into his life. And so he criticized everyone about everything. I only learned to find out later on as life went on, I only found out that this guy in everything, in every area that he was so critical about everybody else, was going on in his own life. Every single one of them was going on in his own life. And his life totally fell apart because he would not stop the criticism. And those things that you fear will come upon you. And so these things you struggle with yourself. What I'm trying to do today is help you. You see, knowledge is high ground. When you have knowledge and understanding about something, when you're wise about something, it brings you to a higher place. And so what I'm trying to help us with today is in understanding critical people is that they have serious problems. A critical person is full of problems. They have all these struggles going on inside of them. And if you will take what I'm trying to hand you today and give you today about understanding this, you will be able to handle critical people much, much better. And instead of being angry with them, I think you'll have some empathy for them. You'll understand that they've got some issues going on in their own lives. They have serious problems in the very area in which they're criticizing you, most likely. Now, I'm thinking about another guy who's an older man who came to church here at one time. And again, one of the most critical people that I've ever known. And he criticized everything. Nothing was right. Everything was wrong. And he was an older man. And again, we got to know the guy a little bit. We learned about his life. And sure enough, his childhood was horrific. He had the worst childhood you can possibly imagine. He was criticized as a child. He was beaten as a child. It was very, very horrible. And he never learned how to handle that criticism. So what I'm trying to tell you today, especially if you're a critical person, if you don't learn how to handle it, when you get old, you're still going to be critical. You're going to die a mean, old, critical person. Now, hear what I'm about to say to you. I have never in all of my life seen a happy, critical person. In fact, the more critical the person is, the more miserable the person is. Think about that. Critical people are miserable people, and to the extent they criticize is the exact extent of their misery. And if we don't learn how to handle it, it will take us to our graves. We'll be mean, old, critical people, never getting to enjoy life. So with that said, let me give us some ways to handle critical people. I've already given you two. First of all, you want to know that you're going to be criticized. Secondly, everybody doesn't feel that way about you. Now I want to give you some other things. I'm going to give you one way not to handle criticism, okay? The way most of us handle criticism is we want to criticize back. That's our carnal nature. We want to give it back to them. Bless God, who do you think you are talking to me like that? You know, and so we just throw it back at them. Well, that's only lowering yourself to that level. And it's only feeding your carnal flesh. It's not teaching your flesh how it's supposed to respond. And you're never going to help that person or help yourself by doing and responding to criticism that way. Don't respond in anger. Don't respond. Here's some ways you do respond. Let me give you three ways in which to respond. Now, if you're on the back of your gateways, we've got these things for you. On the first one is, I will be criticized. You need to know that. You need to put that down. I will be criticized. And then I want you to know this. Here's the first one on the back. First way to handle it is listen to wise criticism or constructive criticism. Fill in your blank there. Listen to wise criticism are constructive criticism. When do you know if a person is wise? Well, first of all, look at their life. Look at their history. How's their family? How's their finances? How's their job? How's their employee? Do they live a wise life? That's a good tip-off, right? But the main way that you'll find if it's a person that's not just criticizing you, but really wanting to help you and not just poison you, and not just hurt you, is this person willing to impart into my life? Are they willing to spend time to help me with themselves, with their money, with their time? Are they willing to help me find a solution to my situation? Not just be critical to me about me. See, if they're just wanting to be critical, they're just a fool. You don't want to listen to fools. You want to listen, though, to people who will give you wise criticism. We call it constructive criticism. Let me read you this verse. It's in the New Living Translation in Proverbs chapter 15, verses 31 through 32. It says, if you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home, look at this, among the wise. You position yourself in a place with wise people. You are at home with wisdom. If you will receive if you'll listen to constructive criticism. If you reject criticism, you only harm yourself. But if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding. It's an art to learn to listen to criticism and not get angry. Most of all of us want to get angry, want to fire it back. Who do you think you are? You got problems too. You know, and we won't learn from it. If we'll listen to wise criticism, if we'll listen to it right, we seat ourselves among the wise. But it is an art to learn how to do that. But hear me, you will never be wise, and you will never come to the fullness of your potential in life if you refuse to listen to wise criticism. Let me say it again. You will never be wise, and you will never experience your full potential until you are able to listen to wise, constructive criticism. So the first thing you got to learn to do is receive wise criticism or constructive criticism. Second thing you learn to do when handling critical people is this: dismiss invalid criticism. Dismiss, if you're taking notes. Dismiss invalid criticism. See, some people are just critical. I mean, they criticize everything. They criticize you, they criticize their spouse, they criticize the dog, they criticize the cat, they criticize the president, everything. They're just critical people. They're fools. The Bible calls them fools. They're only looking for criticism. They're only looking for things to criticize. Wise people dismiss, let go, that kind of criticism. You do not internalize it. You don't give it a thought. You let it go. And unless you're willing to spend time with that person and money on that person and really impart your feelings to that person, you're not going to help them because they're not going to change. Spend your time on doing something that's going to help you and help somebody else. Most likely this person isn't going to change. And Jesus tells us there are people that are critical. They're just not going to change. And you just got to learn to ignore them. Let me show you this. It's in the Bible, Matthew chapter 15, verses 12 through 14. It says, "Then the disciples came to him and asked, 'Do you realize you offended the Pharisees by what you just said?'" Jesus had done a teaching, and now the Pharisees were criticizing him about his teaching. "Do you understand that you've offended the Pharisees?" And here's what Jesus said. Jesus replied, "Every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be rooted up." He's saying, let God deal with them. "So ignore them." So do what? Say that back to me. Ignore them. What Jesus says here is you got to let it go and let God deal with them. You're not going to help them. You're going to make it worse more than likely. And you might become critical yourself because they're going to get around you and poison you. Ignore them, Jesus says. Let it go. Realize that the more successful you are, the more you're going to be criticized. If you got a good marriage, your marriage is going to be criticized. You got good kids, your kids are going to be criticized. Your finances are good, people are going to criticize your finances. The more successful you are in life, the more you're going to be criticized. I mean, look at the president. Great popularity rating, right? The more success and the more influential you become, the more you're criticized. So understand you will be criticized. Understand, though, that everybody doesn't feel that way about you. Understand that you need to learn to listen to wise criticism. Understand you've got to learn how to dismiss. It's an art to dismiss foolish criticism. And then here's number three. Learn to evaluate the person's emotional and physical state. Have you ever tried to help a wounded animal? I remember one time as a boy, I had a little dog in a house, and it was just a mixed up little old dog, but it was my dog. And it got out one day and got in the road and got hit by a car. And it was out there and squealing in the car, in the road. And so I run out there to try to pick up my little dog, you know. It's my dog. So I reached down and picked that dog up. You know what that dog did? It bit me. You stupid dog, you. I'm trying to help you. But I didn't dismiss the dog, and I really didn't do that. I knew the dog was hurt. I didn't dismiss the dog. I go to hospitals sometimes, and the person's hurting, they're in pain, they're under medication, they're not themselves. And sometimes I get bit. They say some mean things to me. If you had a parent who's having mental problems, or a grandparent who's going through some mental problems, you know what I'm talking about. You don't dismiss the person in the hospital. You don't dismiss your grandparent or your parent. But you do dismiss the criticism. You evaluate the physical and the mental state of that person. You can't dismiss that person, But you can dismiss those words. And until you do dismiss them, they're going to get inside of you and they're going to hurt you. So you got to evaluate the person and learn how to dismiss it. And unless you're willing, you know, to do that, you're going to be hurt a lot because you got to evaluate the situation. Now, you know, like I just said, that people, a lot of times when they got their finances going well and they're tithing and those kinds of things, they're criticized by people who don't tithe and whose finances are messed up. Let me give you one that's more personal, maybe home to you. All right, you guys, you'll recognize this. You see, when things are going wild in your house, you need to check the hormone level. Hormones out of balance means you're going to get bit. Now, that doesn't give her the right to be mean. But it does understand you don't dismiss your wife. You just understand she's not well right now. Let's get through this week and we'll be okay. Women. Now, when your husband is under stress at work or finances or things, leave him alone. He'll bite you. It doesn't mean it's right. It doesn't mean what he's just said to you right. No, that doesn't mean. But you don't dismiss your husband. You just evaluate. Well, he's under a lot right now. I'm going to keep my hands away from that right now and get bit. You will get bit if you don't understand this. So my point is to evaluate the person's emotional and physical state. I want you just to bow your heads. Criticism to many of you said years ago still haunts you today. Some of you are haunted by criticism that took place in your past or even in your childhood by people that aren't even alive today. And it's devastating you. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. It's paralyzed you. It's stopped you from being all you can be. It's caused you to do some foolish things. You're not seated among the wise. You got to let it go. I just want to minister to you just a second here. You say, Delbert, you say that, and I do know that in my home or years ago, I was criticized. And I didn't let it go, and it got in me, and I internalized it, and I deal with that. And it probably has caused me to have insecurities and caused me to hurt some other people. If that's you, would you slip your hand up just right where you are and just let me pray for you? Amen. I see your hands. Hold them up. Just let me pray for you. Father, I bless these people. Lord, they've internalized some things that I want them to let go right now. Father, bless them. Help them. Father, I ask you to touch their hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, look at me just for a few minutes. This was a couple of years ago. It was Easter morning. 15 minutes before Easter service. Biggest day of the year for the church, our church, every church. And you want to be at the top of your game on Easter morning. You want to be excited. You want everybody else to be excited. You know, it's Resurrection Sunday. And I walk out of my office and I run into this guy and he says, I need to talk to you. I said, okay, let's go back in the office. We went back in the office. And he told me that he and his family were leaving the church 15 minutes before service on Easter morning. And I said, okay. And he begins to give me his list of reasons. Now, I've got to come to the pulpit with this fresh criticism. What do I do? Do I let that eat at me and stop me from enjoying Easter morning with a house full of people and ministering to as many people as I possibly can? Or do I dismiss that? I have to evaluate it. I have to quickly decide whether that's even worth my thinking about. I thank God that I have learned how to handle critical people. I dismissed it. It's not always easy, and I don't want to pretend like it is. It's never easy. It always hurts when you're criticized. But you've got to learn how to handle it. Now, how in the world do you handle criticism. How do you handle it where it won't hurt you? Well, you don't really, but you do get it where not as painful as it possibly could be. Yeah, did I say that correctly? You know what I mean. So what you do, though, what you have to do is you have to come to a place in your life where, like Abraham Lincoln said, you realize you're going to be criticized. You come to a place where, like Abraham Lincoln says, you can please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. You realize you're going to be criticized. You realize that. But what you can do is always please God. If you'll learn to please God, and when it's all said and done, and you look back and you say, did I please God today? Then you're okay. See, that's the bottom line. Here's what the Apostle Paul said right here. He says in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, he says, on the contrary, we speak as man approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Here's what I want you to see. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. Sometimes I feel like the Lord tests me with criticism. How do you learn not to let criticism get to you, internalize it? By looking to see if you've pleased God. When I finally got to the place in my life, that guy I told you about years and years ago, when I looked at my life and I saw that I had really only done and studied and said and taught and did the very best I could do and that I had been pleasing to God, what he said didn't matter anymore. And what I'm trying to tell you today, have you pleased God? If you've pleased God, then you don't care what anybody else ever says. Let's bow our heads now and one more time.